You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
It has really been great while we're here, while we've been here, just to work with the team and to see what God is going to do, what God is doing, and what God is going to do to this church, do here and through you to the nations in Canada. I'm just so amazed at the international contingency here of what God is doing. We met with a bunch of people from the church yesterday, and just to see so many cultures that normally would not mesh together, that they were just flowing. And it's just a snapshot of what God wants to do in the nations. But God has to do it in the kingdom, in the church first. The church can't be segregated. The church is a church for all the nations. Every nation. That's why I probably lived in, still going down the list, how many nations can I live in? We leave here this afternoon. We go to Berlin. It will be our Every Nation Leadership Conference for all of our leaders in Europe. That's from Great Britain, Central Europe, Eastern Europe, as far down as Southern Spain. Really excited about that. Then it's like a planes, trains, and automobiles. And we drive into Krakow, Poland. Anyone from Poland here? No, Linda, where's Linda? She's here. She calls it the old country. Anyone here from Ukraine? Anyone know anyone from Ukraine? I'm going to say Alex is not here. We're going to the cities of Lviv, Ternopil, and a new church plant in the city of Mykolaiv, which is near the city of Odessa in the Black Sea. I'll be going there by train. So, planes, trains, like no John Candy movie. Who's Canadian? See, I know every time I'm in the States and I mention someone from Canada, the Canadians go, hey, it's Canadian. So, I have a lot of Canadian friends. And my first visit to Canada was Cold Lake, Alberta in 1983 or something like that, and it wasn't either then. On my first trip here, I spoke one of my life messages. Everyone has a life message, so Pastor Burry says, what is your life message? And my life message was that God is good, and that seems kind of redundant, but God is good. But then in Psalm 73, the writer, a guy named Asaph, he said, God is good, but for me, I'm having trouble with this. We really walked through that, how he had to really understand God was good when the laws of cause and effect, that if he did good, good did not always happen, even if he was good. He was having trouble seeing the benefit of goodness. Today, I want to continue. This is sort of a part two of my life message, and you've been talking about special days. And instead of a special day, I'm going to talk about seasons in our lives. In our lives, definitely, there is a journey. I've gone through several of those seasons, and I hope to share some of those seasons with you. We are still on that journey. We have not reached our destination, even though Bert believes my destination is Canada, especially Toronto. We're still not there. But in our lives, but in the journey that we have traveled, we have a lot of wisdom. There's a show called What Not to Wear. If you're married, it's a guy, you've had to watch it with your wife, but the girls know the show, What Not to Wear. We have a whole list of things in life called What Not to Do. Everything we try that didn't work, like, no, you really don't want to try that again. But on our journey, there's always an understanding of what's really happening. What is going on in my life? And I'd like to talk about that today. But call this, it's going to be in several parts. Part one, Great Expectations. Now, how many of you are Charles Dickens fans who've either seen the movie or read the book Great Expectations? Yes or no? Okay, good. Well, in Great Expectations, there's this young man. His name is Pip, and he's a very poor boy, but he helps a criminal who's escaped, and he hides the guy. And that criminal gets away, and he feels indebted to this boy. So this criminal, his name is Abel Magwitch, and he works behind the scenes to make Pip's life better. And it really doesn't quite work out the way everyone wanted it to. But what I'd like to share with you today is that God is working behind the scenes. We read in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah, that this was written a long time ago. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Hey, God is for you. What can possibly go wrong with this plan if God is for you? Now, sometimes we read through the Bible too quickly. We don't pay attention to these things called words that have meanings. You ever read through the Bible and you're like, wait, did someone just get raised from the dead? Let me go back. Did he actually say that? We have to go back and catch the depth, the significance of what was said. But what he's saying here says, I know. He's not saying you know. God is saying, I know the plans that I have for you. But he's speaking for the people of God. He's not talking about the plans that we have for us. It is the plans that God has for us. He has plans for welfare and not for calamity. Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to have bad situations, but the purpose of his plans means he's not trying to hurt us. He's good, but it doesn't mean we're not going to be hurt. It doesn't mean we're not going to feel pain. It does not mean we're not going to feel disappointment. But what God is trying to say, I want to give you, and he says it at the end, a future and a hope. A future and a hope. Now, when you have hope, hope is everything. And that just really, and faith stirs up in our lives when we have hope. But he's saying, this is our plan. But what could possibly go wrong with the plan of God? For example, what can possibly go wrong for our lives? How many are university students here? How many used to be university students? Okay. I used to be a university student, and I studied physics, math, and yeah, and I'm a missionary. You make the connection, you know, like physics, mathematics, going to Ukraine for 16 years. So that really worked out well. What could possibly go wrong? I wanted to be a scientist. I studied physics. I end up, you know, the cosmos is waiting for me. What I ended up, I ended up meeting the author of the cosmos, and I went on a different journey. And I still did my work in physics, but it gradually went into what we call full-time ministry, doing what many of your leaders do here. I met this author, but I was around many people in my life that they planned better than me, or they planned better than me. They were smarter than me. They had it all together, and they went to that job interview, and it didn't work out. Then they went to the next job interview, and it didn't work out. But they had their degree, their credentials, their curriculum vitae. They had everything, and it didn't work. So then life takes a left turn, and you're going, you're scratching your head. And then your parents, who paid for your education, are also dropping hints. I wanted you to go here, but you went there. So now your own conscience is bothering you. What went wrong? Now your parents or your relatives, can anyone relate to me? Yeah. And then sometimes if you're in the entertainment industry, if you look at all the famous entertainers, they bust tables and things like this. People get discovered. They work very hard. But the journey was not what they always expected it to be. And that's what I'd like to get into today. Instead of Charles Dickens, just lost theirs. The hero in our story is a young man about 17 years old named Joseph. Now, Joseph lived a very, very, very long time ago. I would say probably some 3,000 years ago in what is now the Middle East. For those of you who are not familiar with him, he was the favorite son of an old patriarch by the name of Jacob. Jacob also has the name of Israel. So everyone knows that the nation of Israel is named after this guy's dad. And he was the favorite son of his dad. And he had some very interesting characteristics. He had a very interesting gift. Now, you know when we dream of something? If I have a dream. I don't mean our goals, our dreams. I mean the literal dreams that we have when we fall asleep. He had dreams that came from God. And if you had a dream that came from God, he can interpret that dream accurately. Now, a lot of us have these strange dreams. You have these dreams where your teeth are falling out. You're naked in class. No one else is, and no one knows you are. Come on, come on. But now that you have Google, you can look it up. What does that mean? The tornado dreams, the cyclone. Come on, let's raise your hands. So you can Google this thing. Like me and my daughter were looking, what does it mean to have a dream? Something, you have your financial dreams or something. I said, you know what, that's amazing. But that wasn't a dream from God. That's a dream from my insecure soul. Like, I'm really worrying about something. But see, Joseph had dreams from God. That's a very significant thing to have a dream from God. And his dream was such that mean, he's 17 years old. His siblings are a lot older than him, and they don't really get along with each other. So, but he decides to share this one dream with his brothers, a lot of brothers. He said, I had a dream that all of you were going to bow down to me one day. Now, he's already not popular because he's the favorite son. The best clothes go to him. His dad makes this great, really cool, fashionable coat for him. Not the brothers. The brothers get nothing. So they don't like him. And so he decides, well, okay, then I'm going to add what God said. God said, you guys are going to bow down to me one day. And mom and dad too. You know, here's the thing. He was right. It was going to happen. God gave him this dream, and it was going to happen. What can possibly go wrong? Well, a lot of things went wrong. His brothers started to dislike him so much, they said, okay, here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him. Now, that's pretty bad. That's not your job interviews against you. This is your family. Let's get rid of this. We're tired of him. So they tried to kill him. And one and a few of the other brothers interceded, no, let's not kill him. So they threw him down a pit where there's no water. And this is going very bad. In Genesis chapter 37, something happened. It says, then some Midianite traders passed by. So they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites, who were distant relatives, for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Hey, Joseph, this is what you get for dreaming. We didn't kill you, but off you go. Put a big FedEx stamp on him, right, Cairo, and he's gone. Now, imagine what Joseph is thinking during this time. This is not going well at all for him. He must be discouraged. And when we take these left turns in our lives, the first thing you can think is that, was that dream, was that vision really from God? Or was I fooling myself? God didn't see this coming. It couldn't be true. What happened to Joseph? He's rejected and abandoned by those whom he trusted the most. So it's going pretty badly. He was sold to an affluent man in Egypt, which wasn't in the neighborhood. It was far away. It is the opposite direction from where his dream was supposed to be fulfilled. The absolute opposite direction. Not only that, as he's working for this affluent man, his management skills come into play. He is promoted and managing this man's household as a slave. Now, that's not what you have in mind as a career opportunity. Like, yeah, I'm a manager. I got this new job. So where is it? Well, I'm actually a slave. But you're a what? That's not a promotion. That's a demotion. That's not good at all. The interesting thing is that the abilities that God had given him continued to function in a place where he did not want to be. Now, that kind of bothers you. It's like if you're a musician, you're still writing songs, but you can't get that good. You're still doing math. You're still preparing for the GRE. You're doing all these things and these visions. Okay, I'm getting some resonance over here. All these things you prepared for, when that door shuts and you go, I must have been wrong, you walk over here, it's still stirring up in you. And it's working over here. But that kind of makes you mad. That's not fair. Why won't this thing go away? Why won't this thing go away? And Joseph's abilities do not go away, not one bit. Especially when those abilities are coming. When the gifts and callings of God, God's word says they are without change. Uses an old word, repentance. You think repentance means stopping from sinning? Repentance actually means turning a different direction. So it says the gifts and callings of God are without a change in the other direction. Yet he's in a different direction. So what could possibly be going on? Now, things go from bad to worse for Joseph. He's doing so well that he catches the attention of the master's wife. She has a thing for him. And she accuses him of sexual assault, which he did not do. So Joseph is thrown into prison. Once again, not killed, but he's in a deeper hole than his brothers threw him into. While he's in this hole, he begins to prosper again. Now he's a manager of the whole business, the prison, as a prisoner. That's not fun at all, but that's where he is. But something else is going on behind the scenes. People are noticing his ability. There's a little buzz going on that, yeah, this guy has this gift. Yeah, the servant who became a prisoner for doing this and that and the other, all those bad guys, he has this unique gift. And he begins to help some affluent people who were arrested. And he says, remember me. And they did not remember him. They worked for the boss. They worked for Pharaoh. Forgotten again. Nothing is working out. A long time ago, I think it was probably, this happened about 15 years ago the first time, we were living in Ukraine, and we had so much opposition to the church that we were planting that we had people protesting on the streets against us. Former head of a mafia guy, he's a championship weightlifter of Ukraine, and I got in some shoving matches with this guy. Wasn't strong enough, so I went to the gym and got stronger. It was, the Bible says you don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against spiritual things. I was wrestling with both, and I was getting pretty tired. And we had no help. We had no encouragement. It was a long ways away. The umbilical cord from our ministry to over there from North America was very thin and long, and our ministry was very small back then. We did not have a lot of churches anywhere. It was us. And it wore me down, and it wore me down. And finally, I just had a complete physical collapse. I had to come home. And my contemporaries looked at me. I call it concerned benevolence. What's wrong with you? The only pastor that I spoke to who understood was a guy named Steve Merle. Who has ever heard of Steve Merle? Steve's been here. He was a missionary, too. So he got it. He'd been in Manila. We actually lived in Manila. How many people in the Philippines? Yes, we lived in Manila 2 years. So, never ate balut though. Maybe next time. Even though we came off the field, I thought I was so burnt out that we would never go back again. Yet, the gifts were stirring in our lives. So we went to New York. We began to minister with Russian Jews in New York. After New York, we went to Philippines. What we were trying to do was find our way back into Ukraine, kind of circling around it. As soon as the door opened, we were going to jump in. We're going to get back. And I had to convince a lot of people that I'm ready to go back in. And we ultimately did go back in, but it was a very circuitous route to get back in because we couldn't help but to keep trying because of the thing that God has stirred up in our hearts. If you know something's of God, you have to keep pursuing it. You cannot easily surrender these things. I did not know that this circuitous route actually had a purpose. That the people that we were meeting along the way, that we would join on mission with them later in life. With my Filipino friends, with my Russian friends out of New York City, the people that we're now meeting in North America, that these lines were converging to a purpose that I could not see at the time. We thought we were off track, far be it from the truth. An alignment of circumstances and our abilities was on the horizon, and we did not see it coming. And the same was happening to our hero, Joseph. An alignment of circumstances caused by God was getting ready to happen, and he had no idea, and no one else on earth had it either. Great surprises. Something happened one day. God not only gives dreams to his people, he gives dreams to anyone that he deems he wants to give them to, because he's God. The king of Egypt, also known as Pharaoh, had a recurring dream. It was from God, and it more or less spelled the end to human civilization. It was really bad. No one can interpret it. And there happened to be only one man in the known civilization who had the answer and the ability to figure out what his dreams were about. One of Pharaoh's servants says, oh yeah, there's this guy. And Pharaoh, you didn't want to put me in prison in the first place, and I'm kind of ashamed to remind you, but you're really struggling with these dreams, and there was this guy who interpreted what happened, what you did to me. Give him a try. So they went in to the prison. If we read in Genesis 41:14, then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. Now remember where he is. He's in a hole inside of a hole inside of a hole. He's gone from the hole his brothers put him into to the hole of being a slave to the hole of being a prisoner. And he's accused of being a sexual predator. He's on the sex offender. This is pretty bad. Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. Now basically, this is like you going from the lowest part in Canada to Parliament. Someone comes by, you're living under a bridge outside where homeless people are, and they come, and a SWAT team, a special team comes, and they said, "You, that's the one." They grab you. You're coming with us. They run by a hotel. They wash you off. They go by a clothing store. They throw clothes on you, and you're going, "What is going on?" And then they take you to the center of government, and you walk in, and there's the head of state. That's what happened. You have to be thinking, there must be some mistake. Joseph was able to articulate the problem that Pharaoh was having. He understood it completely from God in that moment. It was an approaching famine that was going to devastate the known world. But God not only warned Pharaoh what was going to happen, he gave Joseph the wisdom about the solution. And Joseph articulated that solution to Pharaoh so well that Pharaoh says this: "Who else can possibly manage this project of saving the world but you?" He took his ring off, his signet ring of Pharaoh, and put it on this guy who had been in prison a few hours earlier. And he said, "I make you the governor of Egypt, second only to me. And nothing happens without you saying so, short of my kingdom itself." He gave him, in one day, this thing begins to happen. Because his gift was from God. And God was in charge of his gift, and God was in charge of his plan. He gave him a new name, Zephaniah. If you want to read it, it meant Savior. What does that mean? What is he going to say? It's not the exact vision of his parents bowing down to him or his family bowing down to him. His gifts and abilities were now being used in better circumstances. Yet his home, or what he considered his destination to be, was very, very far away. There was a lot of pain. He got married, and he had two sons. And it's interesting what he named his sons. As we go in Genesis 41, he says, "Now before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, 'God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household.' He named the second Ephraim, for he said, 'God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction.'" Affliction's an old word. It means in the land of everything bad that's happened to me. He's recognizing that through all the pain, yes, God has made me fruitful. But now things have gotten significantly better. But he's forgetting his father's house also. He's forgetting the original pain. He's embracing a destiny that was not what he thought it would have been. "I thought it was this thing back home. It was all about me. There was some circumstance, something was going to happen, and my family was going to honor me. Whatever that was, I've lost that. I've lost any inheritance. I'm way over in Egypt. I'm doing well. Okay, I'm embracing this thing. I'm embracing this thing. That old thing might even be dead. It might even be dead." These things, even when you become into better times, it can still shake your original faith. You can still doubt. You can lose faith over issues like this. Our personal detour ultimately took me around the world. I ended up doing stuff like working in anti-trafficking. I used to work with other people, 400 girls, from trafficking. I'm wondering, why in the world am I involved in this? Not knowing that I would get a skill set out of that I can bring back into ministry for the ultimate thing that we would be doing, a greater fulfillment that we did not know was right around the corner. The greater fulfillment. Now Joseph's story is coming full circle. His original dream comes full circle. His family shows up from Palestine seeking food because the famine was there too. It was a famine of the known world. His brothers come to him and they bow down. There it is. They bowed down to him, but they did not know who he was. But he definitely knew who they were. When they've after a series of circumstances, they became terrified of what he would do in retaliation to them. Because everything that had happened to him was their fault. If they had not sold him into slavery, he would be safely back in his father's home. But Egypt and the known world also would not have been safe. It's coming to the point. They're terrified. And he says to them, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." That detour was in God's original plan. When God has a plan for our lives, it incorporates every stumble that you make, every time you fall on your face, every time you disappoint yourself, every time you temporarily turn your back on God. God's plan incorporates your personal weakness. It incorporates the weakness of the world around you, the systems around you. That's how much control God is in of the life that is committed to him. He is completely controlled, in control. And he says, "You meant evil." And it was evil. Was it not? They meant evil. But God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. The dream for Joseph, the dream for my family, the dream for you is not about us. It is not about us. It is about serving a greater good. Joseph thought it was all about him. I'm speculating, but it doesn't say it. But I'm quite sure that Joseph had a very narrow view of what that dream could have meant. There's no way he could have predicted the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan for him. And he had to go through hell to get there. But what he went through caused a civilization to survive. The dream was never about Joseph. Our dreams are not about us. They're not about individual fulfillment. They're about fulfillment of the plan of God in our lives and through our lives. The seasons of hardships are often seasons of refinement that lead to a greater good. Imagine if God did everything that we asked him to do. It's like if you have children, imagine that you bought them everything that they wanted you to buy. You know, well, you'd be bankrupt really fast. You can't imagine you had everything you thought you wanted. Now, for us, what is full circle? All the hardships, all the circuitous route that we took, we are now at a place of helping others in the same journeys, in the same nations, doing it better, but on a multiplied level that we could not have done ourselves. If it had been only about our ability to stay in one country, we would have reached a certain amount of people. But the journey of difficulty and of the wisdom that God brought into it and the people that we met is coming as we speak in full circle to the point that it is able to activate many people like yourselves here, like others who were going into Europe this week. We'll be speaking with people who are beginning that journey with children's eyes like they're in a candy shop. It's going to be great. And I said, it is going to be. It is going to be great. Who's seen Lord of the Rings? Yeah, it's really great to be Frodo, unless you're actually Frodo and you have to go to hell and back and to be the author of the story, to be the subject in the story. And also, when you're actually in the story, you don't know if that particular page you're on is the last page. And we're reading a novel, you're going, I'm bored. He happens to go to the back. Okay, he lives. All right, then you'll go back to reading it. You know, we can't do that. What happens? You know, where's the next page? We cannot do that. But God has said it will be a certain way. In Romans 8:28, it summarizes the whole journey of Joseph, the whole life of Joseph, and what he said to his brothers. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Yes, God is not simply good and nice, but he is turning even the difficulties into a greater good. We are not naive to the fact that there are difficult seasons in life. But once we near journey's end, we see that God was there the whole time, just like he promised. His words for Joseph and others in our ancient faith are just as valid today. Now you have two choices here. We began by talking about a Charles Dickens novel called Great Expectations, where a benevolent criminal tried to help a young boy better himself in life. But that man was just a man. And we're just men and women and children trying to navigate a very difficult world to barely get ahead, with no guarantee other than your own physical strength that you will make it to the next day. But it's our plan for our lives. But God says, I know the plan that I have for you. And when you embrace the plans, the purposes and plans of God for your life, you're entering a different, call it a different economy, a different jurisdiction, a different guardianship of who has planned this thing. He has planned for every contingency. And there will be difficult times. But he is faithful and he is true to his word that if you seek first him, follow him, and the things having to do with what he wants, everything that we need will be added to us. He promises that. And I'd like to close by encouraging you with that today. That you may be at the beginning of a journey. You're like, I'm bug-eyed and I'm happy, and what can possibly go wrong? You could enjoy the infancy of your faith, but it will be tested, but that's okay. When the fire comes, even Jesus says, when the fire comes, don't freak out. I can use a modern language. Jesus says, when fiery times come, don't freak out. It's pretty normal. Some of you are going through the fiery times. You don't know. I don't know what's going on. And I can tell you that God knows what's going on. And as long as you stay close to God, he will guide you through the fiery times. And he will begin to reveal his purpose. And he does it through people as well. If you've been burnt and come out of fiery times, and you were saying, wow, I tried what that pastor said. Thanks, but no thanks. It looked like Joseph was close to doing that. He named his son after, like, I'm forgetting my family. What's your son's name? Oh, my son's name is I'm forgetting about my family. So he's pretty... What's your other son's name? He says, I've done well through all this crap. Oh, that's his name. And that's how their names were. I'm forgetting my family, and things are getting better through all this mess. Well, he's kind of coping, but ultimately something happens. The brothers show up, and then like, ah, there it is. Who saw this coming? Like, God did this. The pit, the slavery, that lady. Save a whole lot of people. And that's what God wants to use you for. To save them. Pastor Bert, should I pray? Or Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for people here who are on different areas of their journey. Some are on a journey to faith itself. They're listening to say, do I believe in this God? Is he truly faithful? And I pray that you speak to those hearts. to say, yes, take that one more step towards that one more step of trust. Father, I pray for those who have taken the initial steps. I pray that they get strengthened. You said you have a whole, it's like a suit of armor for us that protects us in these battles. It's spiritual, but it's like the old armor that the knights wore, the shields that they wore. But it's real, but it actually protects us as we go through battles. Father, for those in the midst of the battle saying, I don't know what's happening, has God forsaken me? He said, I will never leave you forsaken. I am with you always, even until the end. And I pray that you encourage those people with your presence, with your Holy Spirit. For those who have been jaded, like I've tried that before, I'm okay now, but I once bitten, twice shy, I will do it again. Father, I pray you show them the hand that you've had in their life, that you've always been right there, and you want to be right there again in a personal way. Pray your blessings. Pray your blessings for this church, for everyone here. Show them the significance, that they are so significant that God would actually have a personal plan. From heaven up above, there is an individual plan. There's a family plan. There's a church plan. There's not one hair on our heads that go uncounted. That you have that plan, and you nurture that plan, and you guard that plan. And as we seek you, you will make sure that plan comes to pass. I pray for blessing and encouragement for everyone here in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.